The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
"Go,
wash in the pool of Siloam,"
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see.
The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying,
"I am the man."
But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered,
"The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
They said to him, "Where is he?"
"I do not know."
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
"He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened."
"He is a prophet."
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?"
His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor did we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself."
His parents said to this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him."
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner."
"I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see."
They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
"I have told you already, and he would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from."
The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out.
Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him."
"You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he."
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshipped him.
"I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind."
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him,
"Surely we are not blind, are we?"
"If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Long time theologian, climate change activist, and founder of the organization 350.org, Bill McKibben, came out with an interesting book a few years back called Earth. Except it's spelled E-A-A-R-T-H. In this book, McKibben suggests the idea that many in the work of climate change have already known for some time. We are living on essentially a new planet. The whole notion of saving the Earth from a climate change that is coming is really a complete misnomer, because climate change is already here. And McKibben acknowledges that the Earth that our grandparents and even our parents lived on has different weather patterns, different migration patterns of animals, different diseases, different temperature swings, different water scarcity issues. It's a new Earth, McKibben writes, and with a different set of rules. So we might as well acknowledge this fact and be able to live our lives as such. Well, in a lot of ways, this shift that McKibben is talking about, I think, is quite scary and quite shocking. Maybe we don't believe it, or we try to resist the idea of changing our patterns of life to match this new Earth, E-A-A-R-T-H. And in truth, many climate change activists, I believe, in my opinion, rely too heavily on fear-based change. The world is going to be hotter and sicker and more extreme, so you've got to change. Not exactly really appealing, is it? Well, maybe it's time to think of our reality just a little bit differently. Not as much catastrophe, but an opportunity. And I think that this is where our faith and our story of the blind man in the Gospel of John can maybe help us a bit. It reads, "As Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man from birth." This is really, really important. Blind man from birth. Why? Well, because it separates this story from other Jesus healing stories and other gospels. They kind of tend to, Jesus heals a lot of people, so they kind of tend to run together. And perhaps this story reminds you of a similar story, which is in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus heals a man. But in this story, in this version, if you remember, the man starts to, he can't quite get into focus, and so he starts to see kind of trees or something, and he can't quite make out what the difference is between trees and people. And this hints at a very, very important fact, I think, because the man that Jesus heals from blindness in Matthew obviously has seen before. Otherwise, he wouldn't know what do trees look like or what do people look like. So Jesus, in that story, is restoring the sight of this blind man. Very, very important to Matthew's telling of Jesus' story. But not in the case here in the Gospel of John. In this particular story, this is a man whose eyes have never worked, who has never in his entire life seen before. Blind from birth. Well, so why is this important? Well, the question then becomes, why was this man blind from birth? And ancient Jewish tradition has a lot to say, actually, about this, especially in the time of Jesus. And in the thinking in Jewish tradition at the time of Jesus, goes like this. Well, God does not create flawed things. So everything God creates has to be good. So for this man to be born blind, there has to be some kind of wrong that happened. Maybe it was by his parents, or maybe it was even him in his mother's womb. Yes, we have teachings, writings from Pharisees in the time of Jesus who talk about even a prenatal type of sin. Whatever it was, this was what was generally accepted by leaders and by followers of the Jewish faith at that time, except by Jesus. Jesus says in this story, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. God's work isn't defined by old rules or old customs that Jewish leaders take and defend. There's a different thing going on here. Well, in earlier chapters of John, Jesus makes several statements. I am the light of the world, being one. Or, I give you living water, being another. But in this story, chapter 9, these statements come together for the first time in an action that Jesus does. The creation of a new creation. Jesus witnesses and shares God's powerful new creation with this man. And it's shocking. In the old creation, this man was beholden to sin as an explanation for why he wasn't whole. He wasn't a full human being. There was no room for him. In God's new creation, through Jesus Christ, this man is whole again. He can see and witness to a new set of rules. Following the grilling and angry confrontation by the Jewish leadership, this man stands face to face with Jesus and says, I believe. I believe. And of course, he didn't understand all of it. He didn't quite know what was going on or what was going to happen next in this new creation that Jesus pulls him into. But despite this, he confidently makes this statement of faith. I believe. I believe in this new creation. So for us this morning, I believe that we can collectively put ourselves into this former blind man from birth's shoes as we figure out a new way to live and to interact with our earth. E-A-A-R-T-H. Maybe it's us who are stepping into this new creation. It's a new creation that doesn't have to be bound by the old rules. Yes, there are those who are shocked at this point, maybe similar to the Jewish leadership, who are trying to explain our mild winters, our lack of snow cover, our dead coral reefs, and the increasing drought and disease with old rule explanations. But there is another way. We are living in a new creation. A new creation has begun. Opportunities to witness God's love and power are now possible, which were not possible before. Praise God. Maybe we don't understand it all. Maybe we are still scarred and we are still scared and uncomfortable with what is going to happen. And we have doubts, we have questions, but we can still stand in front of our God together and say, we believe in God's work of love and justice for all creation. We believe in a Savior that accepts all of us for who we were created to be. We believe in beauty and mystery that make life rich. We believe in Jesus Christ and the power to instill in all of us a new creation. Amen.